It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. It's another episode of If Every Golf Podcast. Golf is ruining my life. Hey, friends.
Hey, friend. How are we? How's your golf?
I'm all right, you know. I feel like I'm really excited that the season is coming back and that I'm playing more golf and that I really enjoyed my round of golf at Hadley Wood recently that I played. That was amazing. Alistair McKenzie designed. Oh. So the guy that designed Augusta National designed Hadley Wood.
Wow.
And you could see it in the way that the green slope from back to front and how the fairways bended and all this sort of.
So in many ways, you've played Augusta since we last spoke.
I think it'd be fair to say I shot 15 over at Hertfordshire's Augusta.
To compare that to me, which is the highlight of my golfing life recently, is that Muswell Hill's not too wet at the moment.
Yay!
I played a round where I didn't get trench foot.
Yes.
It was really nice. Such a magical time.
Are still on mats?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dude, we're recording
it's
this.
It's Feb, isn't it? It's Feb.
We're on mats and I think they tend to take the mats off on a date. They don't even look at the weather and go, it's been hot for 2 weeks. Let's go back to grass tees. They literally go, April the 15th. Now we will decant the mats.
It's such a nice day though.
The mats.
The mats
off.
Removing day is one of the best days in golf.
Yeah, it really is. It's proper golf Christmas. It's proper. The doors are open. Let's go crazy. I love it so much.
I've got a question for you.
Go on.
So the National Golf Foundation has released some stats, right?
Yeah.
Question: how many golfers, more often than not, break 90?
Are we talking a percentage?
A percentage.
So more than 50%
of the time.
Yeah.
How many golfers break 90?
So and 90 is your sort of your 18 really handicap, isn't it? Because most pars are 72 ish.
Yeah.
So we're talking 18 under. I'm going to say 60%. No, maybe less, 50%. I'm going to get 50%, half.
And this stat made me feel really good about myself. Only 26% of golfers regularly break 90.
Really?
So if you're breaking 90, you're in the top 25% of all golfers.
That is impressive. So tell yourself that.
Yeah.
Feel much better about yourself when you've just double bogeyed the last two and shot a 90.
Because I had an argument with someone online about this.
Oh yeah, that's unlike you.
Do you know my 7-wood video?
Yep.
Posted a video about a 7-wood, right? And some guy, and I was like, it's brilliant. It goes 200 yards. And some internet troll was like, why don't you shoot your 5-iron 200 yards?
Oh, and 5-iron?
And I said, mate, what planet do you live on where the average golfer can hit a 5-iron 200 yards? Are you mad?
That's ridiculous.
Totally ridiculous.
I think. I mean, everyone knows a 5-iron's like 220, 230. Of course it is. 220 yards, 230 yards. 200 yards, you'd be hitting an 8-iron. What's wrong with you, mate? You want to have your Weetabix, mate.
There's nothing worse than standing on a par 3 and you have that moment where you go, right, 160 yards, and you go and get your club and you're a 4-ball. And there you go, like, 7-iron. 7-iron, someone goes, yeah, I'm going to probably get an 8-iron there. And you're like, shit, 6-iron. don't look.
It's an easy one.
I'm going for an easy 6.
That's fine though. If it's 6, just say it's a 9.
Yeah, it's a 9.
You're looking at the wrong way around.
It's on your head the wrong way around.
Yeah,
going to hit it easy. You know, I want like a low ball flight thing.
Have you ever done that where you've hit the wrong one between 6 and 9?
No, but I have done the thing where, and I hate when this happens, when you're standing there and you're about 100 yards away from the green and you get your little cannon, your little scope.
Yeah, also you have to pull the official scope face, which is me properly going like, can't quite do it. Yeah.
Mostly eyelashes. I can mostly see eyelashes.
My eyelashes are half a yard away.
And then you scan something and you go, well, it doesn't look 140, I guess it is 140.
And you hit it stiff to the tree. Just
I scanned the tree at the back, didn't I? I scanned the tree at the back. I now have at least two ways of measuring yardage now because I've done that too much.
Just to make sure.
Yep, I have my Canon, my I also have my phone on at all times.
And you have a human caddy with you for every round you play.
And I have Curtis, who always gives me a yardage.
Can I say, I've come to a conclusion about something, and this isn't going to please you. I think gimmies should be banned. Sorry, I'm fed up with it. I think everyone should putt out. Too many times, people go, oh, that's good, yeah. And you're like, well, no, go on, you might miss it. In what other sport, when you're playing football and you get to this close from the goal, they don't say, yeah, you can have that. That's
you may
goal.
As well take it.
Take it, that's 1-0. No, you've got to get the ball in the hole. You've got to get the goal in the net. You've got to get the rugby ball through the post. You have to get the ball in the hole. I understand sometimes on a busy day, if you're doing match play, that's fine. I get that.
Yeah.
But if you are playing a round of golf with friends that isn't the full-on medal, obviously that has to be putted out, everyone should expect you to putt out. That's all right, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
So the problem is with this logic is I sometimes get into this point where you think, I didn't put out today, so does my score actually count?
You should also learn to accommodate the fact that over a round of golf, you might miss one of those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is going to happen because also, and this is my major point with it, is that when you then do a proper card, when you then are playing a medal, you're used to it. Too many people then do a medal and they miss all those putts and they get the heebie-jeebies and it ruins their round. If you're doing it every single round, it doesn't take that long. Sorry, Matt, I'll just put out 1 second. And it counts. It changes the whole game.
Confession, my best rounds of golf have pretty much always involved gimmies. I've said it. Some of my best rounds of golf have always involved gimmies.
What length? I mean, are we talking like...
Well, just gimme length. Whatever my mate wants to give me on that date.
So what you should be doing is saying, here's my score, and I was playing with Steve, who's really generous.
Yeah, I love Steve.
And he owed me money, and I signed off that debt, and he gave me loads of putts.
But the question mark on this I always have, though...
What you should do, why don't you just tee off halfway down the fairway?
Well...
This is a gimme. I'm not going to start off the normal white tees. I'm going to start here by the fairway.
That's the problem is where that logic takes you, because if you have that thought, which is that round doesn't count because it has gimmies...
Yes.
I think
that round doesn't count yet.
But then you also have to go, okay, if you're having preferred lies in the fairway, that shouldn't count.
No, that's different. That's different.
I struggle with saying rounds in winter and rounds where you have preferred lies and you have winter tees. I find it hard to think of them as official rounds of golf.
I agree.
Because there's too many things.
There's variables there. But then, I don't know if I do agree, because then taking that to the next logical step, all my best rounds of golf, which had no gimmies, have happened in September because it's been a bit, the greens have been a bit softer.
Yeah.
So they've taken the ball and I've been getting... And I would never say I shot my two over, but it was September and the greens were soft. I say I shot two over.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, it's the same thing. You're saying, you know, if you're saying, when I did this, this is my score, but here's the caveat. It was in March and it was preferred lies. And you know what I mean? Like,
because I think that's fair.
Preferred lies are definitely fair. There's no doubting preferred lies are fair. Here's my other question. I played with someone the other day who was doing something called Aberdeen Rules.
Oh, I played Aberdeen Rules. I played Aberdeen Rules. It's the best rules ever.
Listen, it's ridiculous.
It's brilliant is what it is.
No, we're agreeing. It's fine. We're agreeing. If in the middle of winter, you seriously think I've gone this far off the fairway and I'm in just a lump of mud and my ball's got a massive thing of mud on it and you think I should play that and then I'm going to get a bogey because it's impossible to hit.
Yeah.
Of course not. You clean the ball and you fix it in the rough a little bit. I think that's fine. But, big but coming, I wouldn't allow that to be a card I'd put in for my handicap. That's not fair. I would never allow Aberdeen Rules, as you would never allow gimmies, on a card that goes in for my handicap.
Yeah, yes, of course. But I'm not talking so much about... I'm talking about how you feel as you walk away from a round of golf when things haven't been how they should be. And I think how they should be is how they are on the PGA Tour. Okay? So what I mean is, when I have my rounds where I go, I've shot an amazing score, but I have gimmies, part of me in my mind is like, yeah, but it's not perfect.
That part of your mind is correct.
Of course it is.
You now need to...
But then I also have that if you're on mats.
Why?
Because
mats make it easier.
Yeah, because you're so much more forward.
Not that much more. But also the ball is flying. The mats are out when it's colder and the ball flies much less distance when it's colder. And the mats only take up a little bit of that. And actually at our place, a lot of the mats are actually on the grass tees where you can really be teeing off. I don't think mats are that bad. Little secret here, don't tell anyone. This isn't going out, is it?
He likes mats.
Quite like mats.
Of course you do, because then I think they're nearer the green.
That's not why I like mats.
And it's a on a par three, it's perfect.
Oh, I've started playing my three woods off the deck on mats. I really like it.
Oh, what, on like a par four?
On a par four.
Yeah. I can understand why.
It's got a bounce to it and it'll... Yeah. It's okay, it works.
I can totally understand why.
So...
But I always have that caveat in my mind, which is that unless it is slap bang in the middle of summer and we're playing the rules as I know them to be, I always have a little demon in my head that goes, yeah, but...
Well, yeah, but you're always going to get the demon, because the other thing that happens is you then play a good round, finish it, and the demon says, do it again.
Yeah, go again.
Oh, no, I can't.
But I can't.
That's a big part of golf, though, isn't it? Do you get that? Every time you play a good shot, part of you goes, go on, can you do that again? I bet you can't. That's a big demon, right?
I think that says a lot about your mentality.
That is a great question, though. What is the biggest golf demon out there? It's got to be the, can you do that again, hasn't it? Or is it the short putts?
The biggest demon is short putts for me, or is you got lucky. That's what my brain always says.
Yeah.
You got lucky. A little 9-9 bump and run that far from the hole, you got lucky. Do it again, you loser.
Unbelievable.
Hit me.
It's like we're being trolled by ourselves.
Yes. I did some like golf research before the podcast today because I wanted to like give you some stuff to take away.
Okay, good.
Because you're a 5 handicapper-ish, right?
Yeah.
And I think this might help your anger. Okay.
I don't know what anger you're talking about. I
don't know what he's talking about. As a 5 handicapper, what percentage of the time are you making bogey or better?
Oh, I love this. What percentage, per hole, I think bogey or better, it should be like 90%, 95%. You should always be getting bogey or better.
As a 5 handicapper?
Yeah, almost 100%, in fact.
54% of the time,
what?
A 5 handicapper will get bogey or better. So more often than not, yes, you're getting bogey or better, but there's a large chunk of time.
Of double bogeys and...
Where you're getting bogeys, double bogeys or whatever.
That doesn't make any sense.
How does it make you feel nicer though, doesn't it?
I feel like I want to go and play golf.
44% of the time, a 5 handicapper is going to get a bogey or worse.
Hang on, sorry, I didn't understand that. So I thought you meant bogey or below. So 44% of the time, they're going to get a double bogey or worse, or a bogey or worse.
Bogey or worse. 44% of the time, bogey or worse.
So it's not too, that's almost half the
holes. Almost 50-50, yeah. Almost 50-50.
That does make me feel better.
Yeah. Doesn't it?
There's that whole thing, isn't there, with decade golf, where you know you line up a putt that's 8 feet, and decade golf tells you you're going to get this 1 in 3 times. Someone will get this.
Mm.
So if you miss it, you go, well, it was just one. It breaks down the maths. I think if you look at the maths, it does sort of ruin the spirit and the passion of golf a bit, which are code words for me getting angry.
Yeah.
But it can really help regulate all that emotion and make you think about it in a much more mechanical way, which is only really a good thing.
And this led me to, because I was thinking about lots of new people getting into golf.
Yeah.
And I'm always shocked by the thing that new golfers always tell me, which is that new golfers always tell me the length they can hit things. Yeah. Like that's an impressive thing. Yeah. And it is when you start golf. Like I've got so many friends that will be like, drove the ball 280 yards today.
Yeah.
Like, over 300 yards today on that drive. And I don't find that impressive because I don't think length off the tee at that level of golf is any indication as to how good at golf you are.
Oh, it's like watching those long driving championships.
Mm.
And you watch those guys who are doing crazy things to their bodies.
Yeah.
The injuries they must get.
You must be bonkers.
I say that with a slight element of enjoyment. But you can see the ligaments straining in hips and knees when they're spinning it all around. And we met some of them once, didn't we?
The Cobra thing,
Cobra guys, and they were like former rugby players. They didn't play golf. They're amazing. Don't get me wrong. What they do is amazing. But it's like a speed skier compared to normal skiing or something. It's just like, it's all show and it's not really the game of golf. It's just a thing from golf that's been hived off and turned into a separate sidebar.
Because when we uploaded a video recently on our channels about me talking about slowing my swing down and how it had improved my game vastly.
It has.
It has. Really has. I mean, we got so many comments and a couple of PGA pros, a couple of like PGA professionals from the UK commented who give lessons. They were like, the thing I always tell my classes is speed up, hit it harder, hit it further, hit it better. And I'm like, I disagree with that. I think there's a certain type of golfer. Yeah, if you want to play off scratch or you're trying to become a proper amateur, like a proper amateur golfer, to go on to be professional. Mm. Yes, go for speed. Yes, try and hit the ball further. For the vast majority of golfers, I think if you just slowed it down, you'd actually have a lot of improvement.
The thing is, Tom, you actually have to do both. That's the essential contradiction at the heart of golf. You go slow and you hit it hard at the same time.
Yeah,
it's a really weird combo. And you were doing fast, 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 everything fast.
Everything before. Was fast, yeah.
You swing slow, 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 and then right at the end, and you go for it. And it's all about knowing when that moment is to go for it. So it isn't all slow. And this is something I learned from teaching my son, because he was doing everything so slowly, because I've obviously been like, go Ernie, go easy, go. And he's just been going, hitting the ground before, decelerating, and all these things which are a disaster, right? And now he's realized, because I said to him, go for it, just go for it. And he's suddenly hitting a much better ball. Because you do it, you've got a nice, lazy swing, and at the last minute, you slap it.
And I think that might be, and I think maybe this is where the people online are coming from with me, is go slow is a shorthand for me to mean have a slow backswing.
Yep.
It doesn't mean slow on impact.
No, exactly.
It does mean have a slow backswing. So when I say go slow, that's what I mean, slow backswing.
And as we discussed on the podcast, you could see the numbers when you're doing a slow backswing. Your clubhead speed's the same, if not quicker.
Yeah, it doesn't affect the clubhead speed.
Can I tell you what's going to affect the podcast? An ad break.
I was just getting into it.
Come on,
I was just getting going.
Back in a sec. One moment. Welcome back to Golfers Ruining My Life. Tom Green was just getting going. Over to you, Tom Green. What were you just getting going on?
There's two types of halfway hut people. There's two types of halfway hut people.
Oh, this is so good. This is so good. It's so true.
There's beer and a sausage roll. And then there's banana and a coffee.
I love this. They need names.
Yes.
They need names, but it's so true. You have the guy who turn up and they see the halfway hut and they go pastry, they go beer, they go maybe a coffee.
Yeah.
There's chocolate.
Yes.
And then you get the guys who go banana, protein shakes.
Yeah.
Their idea of a treat is like an apple.
Yeah, yeah. Or an energy ball.
Yeah, an energy ball.
You've got any energy balls? You're having a laugh, mate. You're in a Muni. There's no energy balls here. But the thing is, the golfer who has the banana and the coffee is happy with who he is. The golfer who has the Guinness and the sausage roll sort of wishes he was the guy having the... banana and coffee, because he knows the Guinness is going to affect his game in a bad way.
What's the optimum length of a stop at the halfway hut? It's the perfect halfway hut stop. For me, it's such a good question. Under 6 minutes.
See.
Because I play games where everyone's like, oh, we'll stop and let these guys through. And I'm like, well, now this game of golf's over and we're about to start a different game of golf.
There are courses that I've played where you almost have to have the 10-minute, 15-minute stop. Mm. Everyone has to do it to stop moments like that. You don't have the, okay, we'll just jump past these people.
Yeah.
Because everyone stops. And I love that. It makes it so much more leisurely that everyone's going to grab a bacon sandwich and we're going to have a chat. No one's rushing here.
No, I'm not talking about rushing. I'm talking about concentrating on the game. And when I'm playing, right, and this goes back to what you were saying a couple of episodes ago about golfing gods. When I'm playing, I'm effectively at a church service worshipping the golfing gods, right?
Okay.
And on some days...
God, we've gone religious recently.
And we really have. And on some days, I am tuned into that frequency, to twist the metaphor somewhere else. And it's all working. And that is... And I need to keep playing to maintain that place and that space in my head and my game. And all the movements are working. And if I stop, I leave and I have to come back in and start again. And I cannot be guaranteed that I will continue in the same vein. I've done it too many times where I stop for too long, start the back nine, and I'm like, oh, I'm a different golfer now.
Yeah, it's gone all over the place.
Nightmare.
I don't know how the guys on the PGA Tour do it when you see them standing on the 18th tee and they stand there for 10, 15 minutes and they're just like...
Why don't they practice that? Tiger, forget going and having a chip and a putt. Go and practice your waiting.
Yeah.
Rory, go and spend half an hour standing in the most annoying place imaginable with loads of fans next to you.
Yeah, looking at you, gawping at you.
Taking pictures. That's what you need to really practice.
Yeah. I've got another stat for you because I've got so many stats to do.
Let's go.
I saved up all these and I've been wanting to do them recently.
Yeah.
And the podcast has got in the way.
I love this of that. Sort of prolonged statgasm. It's good.
So the average golfer swings at 93 miles an hour, okay, with an iron.
Okay. So is that clubhead speed?
That's clubhead speed, right? Yeah. 93 miles an hour. So remember that. Because the thing that most amateur golfers do wrong is that they underclub. Every pro says it. Every pro that I've ever had a lesson with and a game with will go, everyone underclubs because you overthink how far you can hit the ball. You go, okay, I once hit my 7-iron 180 yards.
Yes.
So you play for 180 yards. No.
It's a bit like if I go into town, I know I once got all the right trains and it all worked perfectly and I made it in 18 minutes. So from now on, for me to get into town takes 18 minutes.
Exactly it. So
true.
With this in mind, the average golfer, 93 miles an hour, okay? At 90 miles an hour, so just under the average golfer, how far does a 7-iron go? Oh, so we can use this as shorthand for how far does the average golfer hit a 7-iron?
So I'm assuming it's going to be less than you'd imagine for at 90 miles an hour. So I swing at 100 miles an hour and I hit a 7-iron about 155, 160. And I when I hit it flush, I reckon with that in mind, I would downgrade it to 145.
The average golfer swinging at 90 miles an hour hits the 7-iron 135 yards. Just
is that landing
that.
Or total?
That's landing. So it'll roll out.
Okay,
a bit
then a bit of business
point.
Afterwards.
Yeah. But that's how far. And again, as James Robinson, who has been on this show, told me, forget about your total distances. Concentrate on your carry distances.
Carry.
That's what matters, because that's what's going to be consistent. When it lands on the ground and it does a big hop or whatever, that you can't play for.
You know what? This really resonates because I played the other day with half a set of clubs.
Okay.
So they'd be a bit lighter. It was just a 9-hole thing. And there were several shots which were 150 yards. And I, 145, 150. It was a cold day. And I thought, oh, this is 8-iron, but I'll take a 7. I'll take an easy 7. And I flushed my 7s. And on two occasions, hit it absolutely stiff. But still would tell myself...
It's an 8-iron.
It's an 8-iron. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And but there's something also... This is really why I'd really recommend going out and playing with half a set of clubs if you can. And not only does it make you do different things and play some different shots, but to just say, oh, well, look, if this does end up short, it's not my fault. I'll just treat it as a little driving range. And then to discover, hey, if I hit that, that does actually go that distance. Like,
yeah,
it's really revealing.
Because when you think about your game, how often do you go over the back?
Not that much. Properly landing on the back. Like sometimes you might roll through.
Yeah.
And have a good old swear. Like a really good.
Big swear. Big Tom Price swear.
Well, yeah, you know you're in trouble. The early signs are if I call myself Thomas. Well, that's a good question. What are the early indications that you've got a rage on the way? For me, it's going is referring to myself as Thomas. If I do a proper like Thomas, then I'm only one shot off a big tantrum.
Mine is... Oh, a bit of the old silence. it's gone quiet, has he? Oh, he's having a bad day. That's mine. I'm not so a swearer. True. I'm just a... He stopped talking. He's gone on his phone.
Yeah. The phone comes out. That is a sign.
Why is he on TikTok?
I love that. Let us know what is the ultimate indication you've got a rage on the way. Drop us an email, thetoms@golfersrenewmylife.co.uk.
Do we just keep hitting you with some of these stats?
I'm really enjoying this.
I think they're absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
So a 15 handicapper. Oh, let me read this first.
It's gone silent.
Okay, right. More stats for you. 15 handicapper, 110 yards. How often are they hitting the green?
Well, now I remember this fact from a while ago about Tiger from 100 yards. And I can't remember the fact exactly, but it's something insane. Like you would think in his career that Tiger from 100 yards hits the green 90% of times. And it's not, it's like 40%. Like it's unbelievably low.
Yeah.
That isn't the accurate figure, I know, for any trolls who are currently fingertips on keyboards ready to go.
Yeah.
But with that thought in mind, so this is a 15 handicapper.
15 handicapper, 110 yards. What? How often are they hitting the green?
Percentage? 30.
50. So you've been too hard.
Quite high then.
Yes. But this is where it gets really interesting for your better golfers.
Yeah.
How far out from the green do you have to go for a scratch golfer to have that percentage? So get your head around that.
Yeah, okay. So
for 50-50, how far out do you have to be for a scratch golfer to have this percentage? And this is when I know that I'm not a scratch golfer, because this yardage, I would not be confident hitting...
Okay, so I'm off 5, which is a long way from a scratch golfer. But I would be confident of hitting up to about 165, 170. I'd be like, I'm going to hit this green. 180 and beyond, I'd go, hit the green. 200, I'm like, I hit the green. I'm calling Tom Green.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say 165.
So for you to hit 50% of the greens as a scratch golfer, your yardage 165 yards.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I wouldn't like that. 165 yards out, I'm a bit, if I land this on the green, I'm going to be quite happy.
It's a 67, it's a good 67-y thing.
Yeah. Interesting though, right?
I'm so interested in this.
Because if I had 110 yards in, for me, that's a pitching wedge.
You're on the green.
You have to be, right? Yeah, you have to be. Yeah. And although I'm not a 15 handicapper, we know the stats. The stats aren't going to increase hugely as you get further down to get 115 yards in.
I want this fact. I want to know. Am I right? 165.
165 is scratch, yeah. So 50. So yeah, you're right.
Am I right?
Just said it. Yeah. Oh,
I thought you were going over my answer.
No. You're right. For a scratch golfer, 50-50 is 165 yards.
Does that mean I'm sort of a scratch golfer?
Basically, yeah. Basically.
I'm so happy. I think that the problem I've got is that my irons, like especially my low irons, I play like a scratch golfer. My driver and three wood, I play like I'm off about 12. And my chipping and putting, I play like off I'm about 9. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like I look at those three different segments of golf, your irons, your short game, and your driving. And I think I'm off 5. And a lot of that reason is because my irons are like, I'm off like 1 or 2. I'm really good at my irons.
Yeah, you are.
And my driver's, and my putting and short game is a bit like, What's your equivalent?
You're quite wayward with your driver though, aren't you?
Yeah, massively. What's your breakdown of that then? So you've got, your handicap is what again?
I'm a 10 handicapper who probably plays to like a 13, 14.
Okay. So you got your irons, you got your short game, you got your driving business.
Yeah.
What handicap are you with your driving business, first of all?
I'd say I'm a 5 handicapper with the driver at the moment. My driving is amazing.
I would like you to drive for me.
Yeah, it's really consistent. It's not hugely long, but it's down the middle.
Love that.
Every single time.
Your irons.
Can I break the irons down?
Into short and long?
Yes. Short irons is just chaos.
Yeah, it is.
It's just absolute chaos, especially if I'm going for it, which is why the 7-wood has become such an important thing for me, because I now have this consistent 200-yard shot, which, my God, I didn't have.
Yeah.
Then, so long irons, I'm like a 18 handicapper.
Yeah.
Short irons, so from 7 down to pitching wedge, I'm a 10 handicapper.
Yeah.
Wedges, 18 handicapper.
Your putting's good.
Putting's all right.
Putting's
like a 10. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's a bigger roller coaster than mine, though. That's a real, like...
Our games are very polar opposite, I think.
Yeah.
You just have one of those swings that's perfect for an iron, I would say. You have this really consistent, great ball strike, which is great for irons.
And I think the problem is that... And that's why I can often hit a good 3-wood off the deck, because I hit it like an iron.
You go for your drive too much. I think you go after it.
You try
and hit it really, really hard. And because of that, you get these mad ball shapes.
And this is the interesting thing. When I had that first round back down at Littlestone after 2 months off, I had no expectation. And I swung my driver so slowly, it was like I was hitting a 9-9. Doink. And it was going 240 yards down the middle.
That is how I hit driver now.
You have a live realization on the show, guys.
Just slow it down.
Can I just say, we're recording this on a Monday and I'm playing golf 8 a.m. on Tuesday.
Yes. So
this is good though, right?
Can you do this? Okay, here we go. The next time we meet and sit down for an episode, you'll have played this round of golf.
Yeah.
Can you record yourself tomorrow, just after a few drives, concentrating on slowing down?
Yeah, okay.
And just see how it feels.
Okay.
If you hit more fairways.
I think I will. Golf therapy is the best thing about this show. And I really, really hope, and I think, I don't know, maybe this is the reason why it's doing well at the moment. I think there's a lot of people who listen to this just on the way to the course when they're getting ready for a game. And I love the idea that people are listening to it and going, that's really good. I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Like, I love that.
Slow it down. And by slow it down, I mean slow the backswing down. Don't slow the through swing down.
I'm going for it too much.
Can I ask you about your lines of acceptability with golf? Because I think we have different lines, me and you, of acceptability with golf. Mm-hmm. I think you're a lot more liberal with things that you would accept on golf.
What are we talking about? Like clothing and
clothing,
behavior.
Is there anything that you would say that's too far on a golf course?
With clothing?
With anything on the golf course.
But any behavior.
Things that people do more often than not. So the hoodies thing, the music on the golf course thing, drinking on the golf course thing.
I don't love it. I don't love people having their phones out on a golf course. But that's obviously...
And the old man comes out. It just took a little poke and there he was. Don't get your phones out, kids.
But I understand now we have to have phones out for yardages and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was only a couple of years ago that I'd be playing and I'd leave my phone in the clubhouse.
Is that? No.
I think it's sad. I mean, I do think it's sad that we just stick, we are on our phones a lot, because I will get my phone out to look at a yardage or something, and I'll see 8 WhatsApps, often from you.
Yeah. Hello.
How's the game going?
Chat to me. Hi.
Any pictures? And off we go. And it's just, I find that very, very frustrating.
Because I have really different feelings about music on golf courses. If I was in the UK and I saw someone have music on, it would just discombobulate my whole brain. I'd be like, what are you doing? I don't get it. Stop it.
Yeah.
But when I went had my lads trip to Portugal, we had a little speaker on the side of the thing, and it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
It's because you play by different rules when you're on holiday, I guess. I get things
because it's more of a holiday. It's more of like a...
You don't have beer for breakfast at home, not since the incident.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that's...
Sorry, Mum.
I think that's fair enough. I do think that's fair enough. If you're on holiday and it's... If it's there's a mutually assured destruction thing going on here, if everyone's doing it and it's part of the vibe, right, as the kids say,
yeah,
that's fine. In terms of other things of acceptability, I can get very annoyed by things like, and this is etiquette stuff you learn as a kid, park your trolley near the next tee.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah.
Or don't take your trolley onto the tee. I've seen more and more people doing this.
You understand the irony of you saying this, right?
Don't take your trolley on. Hang on.
Hold the irony. Okay, see 2 years ago on the show.
When I got told off by the greenkeeper, my trolley was not on the tee, it was on the side.
On the slope.
On the slope leading up to the tee.
Sure, it was.
I mean, maybe he had a point. But I would never take my trolley on the tee.
No.
On the actual, almost green-like.
Oh, can I ask that catchy quickly? What is the etiquette with stand bags on tees? Is that fine? Are we fine with that?
That's a great question.
Are we fine with that? I don't know whether we're fine with that.
I do it, but I feel bad about it.
Yeah.
And also, because they put a lot of, in the winter especially, they put ropes around the greens because they don't want people going out with their trolleys.
Yeah.
Part of me thinks, oh, should I maybe be putting the stand bag before the rope as well?
Yeah.
Obviously no stand bags on the green. Stand bags on the fringe of the green?
Obviously no stand bags on the green. But that's actually a really good question. Stand bags on tees. I think that's absolutely fine, but I do have a weird... Oh, should I be doing this?
Yeah, fine, but a bit naughty. Like a beer at 3 p.m.
Fine but naughty.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Can I just say,
can I just quickly before we move on from this? Have you ever had the incorrect socks thing?
Oh no.
That was a Preston Golf Club thing. This is a long time ago, so 15 years ago.
Incorrect socks.
Yeah.
Oh, when you have the shorts and you pull them up in the olden days.
So it was in summer, and I would have been wearing short white socks with shorts, and that wasn't allowed. God, it's a weird sport, isn't it?
Such a stupid sport. So when an old man comes up to you and says, listen here, little kid, can you pull those socks up really nice so I can just see the shape of your calf?
Oh, God.
Anyway, we've run out of time. That's an odd moment to end it on.
That is an awful moment to end it on.
This has been another episode of Golfers Ruining My Life. Listen, if you've got a favourite stat, share it with me and Tom.
Oh, I'd love that. The Tom's at Golfers Ruining My Life. Remember, go down to the bottom of the podcast, give us a 5-star, give us a rating, give us a review, drop us an email, and go and buy God Defenders on TikTok because we need you.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Podcast Network.